Would you turn in your Bibles to Philippians once again, as we've been pursuing this epistle for many weeks, and I think this will be the last one in the series, the 20th message here. We are recording. We're good. All right. We learned in the previous verses in this chapter that we must make Christ the center of our motives, our confidence, our purpose, our attitudes, our words, our actions, and our thoughts. I've reviewed this every time so that we really fix this in our minds. This principle is highlighted by the repetition of the phrase, in the Lord. The natural result of obeying this principle is joy, which is emphasized by the repetition of the word rejoice in these verses as well. Verses 11 through 13 of this chapter, chapter 4, which we covered in our previous message, reveal the secret of contentment. And tonight we follow with verses 14 through 19, although we'll be referring back to verse 10, which teach us the recipe for and rewards of biblical giving. So if you're not already there in Philippians chapter 4, would you follow along in your Bible as I read aloud for us verse 10 and then verses 14 through 19 of Philippians. Verse 10, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Let's skip to verse 14. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we consider this passage in Philippians, as we bring this study of this epistle to a close, Lord, we are so thankful for the joy that threads its way throughout this epistle. And what a blessing it has been, Lord, to study this book. I pray now, Father, that as we finish up with these verses that we'll look at this afternoon, I pray, Father, that you would apply them to our hearts and our lives in a very practical way that would come out in our actions, in our attitudes, in our words. I pray that in everything we would bring honor and glory to your name. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Notice, first of all, that giving is a great work, well-pleasing to God. The first word in verse 14, nevertheless, puts it in the context of what was just covered in verses 10 through 13. And that's why we read verse 10 for us, so that we could catch that reference. Contentment enables God's servants to rejoice in the Lord no matter what the circumstances may be. But God most often uses people to meet the needs of God's servants. If you recall the account of Elijah in the Old Testament, he was fed with ravens. How many remember that? That he was fed with ravens. Well, I don't know if I would like a raven to be chewing on food and then spitting it out to me to eat. But anyway, praise the Lord, he had food to eat when there was a famine. That was God's direct provision. But then he was fed by a widow. God's indirect provision through people. When God's people allow God to use them to meet the needs of others, God is well pleased. Remember, God never forces us to do anything. He may prompt, he may convict, but the decision to respond is always up to us. God wants willing servants, not mechanical robots. We are blessed when we are willing channels of his blessing to others. God considers the giving of his people as a sweet-smelling sacrifice. As Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in verse 18 here, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Notice, second of all, that giving is a sharing in the gospel ministry. Notice once again verses 14 through 16. Let me read that for us again. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. There is special meaning in the words translated share, or if you have the King James Version, it uses the word communicate in verse 14, and shared or communicated in verse 15. In verse 14, share translates the long Greek word synkoinonesantes, having fellowship together in something. The soon at the beginning has that idea of together and participating something with someone together. So the idea is together. In verse 15, share translates the related Greek word ekoinonesen, and having fellowship with someone. So very similar meaning there in these two words. The fellowship, participation, or sharing with Paul was in his afflictions and needs brought about by being a minister of the gospel. Their fellowship with Paul was in the sympathetic heart feeling of experiencing the same needs as he had. I don't know how many times I have seen someone in need and my heart just went out to that person. You probably felt that as well. And what a blessing to be able to share and help someone who's in need. And as I mentioned last week, you know, how someone saw my need and shared a coat with me. Their fellowship, participation and sharing here in the Philippians, furthermore, was in meeting his needs as if they were their own needs. And their fellowship and giving made it possible for Paul to be free to give out the gospel to those who needed to hear. This is why we support missionaries, why a church supports their pastor financially, so that instead of spending so much of their time working to earn a living, that time can be directed to the ministry. I remember when the church here called me to be their pastor. This was 20 years ago, I guess. I came here in 2003. Okay, so yeah, about 20 and a half years ago. Because of our support needs and because of the fact that this church was very small and was not very rich financially, I worked almost full time. And so praise the Lord, that was when I was younger. but praise the Lord that after a while, the church was able to take on more and more of our support so that I could spend more time in preparing messages, in going door to door, in counseling and all the other things that a pastor needs to do. So what a blessing that now, with our missionary support and with the church's support, I do not have to work outside the home at all. I can put all of my time in the ministry, and that's what God intended it to be. So that time can be directed to the ministry, and this is what the Philippians were doing with the Apostle Paul. they were enabling him to spend all of his time in the ministry instead of tent making as he did when that wasn't possible. Notice thirdly that giving will bring a share in the rewards. Verse 17, not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. God rewards the laborer for his labors. God rewards faithfulness in working. But God rewards the giver for supporting the laborer. God rewards faithfulness in giving. Your giving to support God's servants means that God will reward you as well as the pastor and missionary for the souls that are saved and Christians discipled and equipped for service for the Lord through the ministry of that pastor or missionary. I remember there was a good friend of mine who was saved in a jail. He was convicted and therefore he served time behind bars. And then the Lord saved him. And as a result, he had a burden to reach those who were imprisoned. He could say when he talked to them in, you know, behind bars, he could say, I was there where you are. I know what it's like. And let me tell you how the Lord changed my life. What an opportunity. I went to jails to preach and to witness personally to different people. And I never could say that. I could never say I was behind bars like you are. I could just tell them, well, I wasn't there. I've not been where you are, but I know that God can do something for you. And what a blessing that this man that I'm talking about, who became a good friend of mine, that Brenda and I just supported him personally. And I was able to share in the rewards. So many souls were saved during his ministry there. And I have a share in that reward. Brenda has a share in that reward. And what a blessing to have that joy of sharing in that labor. God rewards both laborer and giver according to their faithfulness and selflessness. By the way, notice that God does not reward strictly according to the results. And this is extremely fair in that for the same labor and faithfulness, different places of ministry result in quite different results. In Chile, when my parents were laboring there many, many, many years ago, we saw souls saved on a regular basis. What a blessing that was. When God directed my parents to Kenya, East Africa, there were even more results, visible results. But then come back to the States and wow, the results go down. Depends on where you are. Results are different, even though you are being faithful in the same way in different places. So this is wonderful that God doesn't reward just visible results. God rewards faithfulness and selflessness. That's what God rewards, not necessarily visible results. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you keep your place in Philippians and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. Now, this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 is another good passage where the Lord Jesus himself speaks. He writes, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In just another week's time, well, 2 weeks' time, we're going to have our annual business meeting as a church. And during that time, we're going to vote on whether to increase support or increase the number of missionaries that we support. And we need to keep these passages in mind and ask God to guide us in that matter. Notice fourthly that giving brings God's supply for the giver's needs. In verse 19 of Philippians chapter 4, "And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." God's promise to supply all needs is directed to those who are faithful in giving. As one Bible commentator put it, God opens the treasury of heaven to those who have their treasures there. Interesting, where the Lord says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." And this is what I believe the commentator is referring to. God opens the treasury of heaven to those who have their treasures there. In other words, when you need something, God will supply because you've already put your treasures up in heaven. You've laid up your treasures there because you've given to the Lord's work. He gives to those who give, perhaps not in the same manner, but always in greater measure. And I found in my own personal life that I rarely receive from God the same kinds of things that he leads me to give to others. But the blessings he gives me are even better or more geared to what I need. What a blessing that God knows exactly what we need, and he's looking for a giving heart. And when you have a giving heart, you use the opportunities God gives you, he will give to you. Please do not get the wrong idea that some wrongly preaching pastors or preachers say that, you know, you just have to give and God's going to give you 10 times more than you just gave. And the whole idea is this idea of greed that says, you know, if I can just, you know, give $20 in the offering, then I'm going to get $200 back. No, that's the wrong motive for giving. And God doesn't necessarily promise to give you back in the same currency that you give to him. But what he does do is he blesses you in wonderful ways. And what a blessing to know that we have that kind of God. God's grace is abundantly available to those who have learned the grace of giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, we read this, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you." Remember, grace, very often, or most places in the New Testament, the word grace is God's enablement, divine enablement. So God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. I love this verse because it's full of superlatives. The all grace abound, all sufficiency in everything, an abundance for every good deed. Just all those superlatives are laced through this verse. But it's showing us that God's grace, God's enablement, is available abundantly to those who have freely surrendered everything to the Lord to use for his glory as he sees fit. Oh, may we do that. Christian, if you have truly understood God's great and matchless gift of salvation and his daily provision for your needs, then you will be able to open your heart and your treasure to the Lord for his work and for his glory. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. This has been a short message, but I hope that means that you'll retain more of what you heard today. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed, would you allow the Lord to speak to your heart as we've considered these principles concerning giving laid out in Philippians chapter 4? May the Lord use what we've studied today to guide us as a church in making decisions in our annual meeting concerning what missionaries the Lord would have us support this year. On an individual and personal level concerning giving, you may already have surrendered this area of your life to the Lord. However, perhaps the Lord has spoken to your heart about something we covered this afternoon, and you need to respond to him about it. Would you do that now in the quietness of this closing moment before I close in prayer? As always, if you'd like some help in understanding what God is doing in your heart or in how to put into practice what he is showing you, please talk with me after the service. Or if you're on Zoom or listening later on our website, please contact me by email or texting. The information is there so that we can set up a time to talk on the phone or meet in person to get that help. Whatever works better for you, we want to help you to follow the Lord's will. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for what you have taught us throughout this whole epistle. And Lord, what a blessing it is to rejoice with the Apostle Paul as he has shared these wonderful truths about you, about your love, about your goodness, about here in these verses, about your generosity to us, your goodness to us. I pray, Father, that we would also have that kind of heart where we desire to be a blessing to others. Lord, I pray that we would be a blessing to others in our family. We would be a blessing to others in our church. We'd be a blessing to others in our neighborhood. We'd be a blessing wherever we are, Lord, that they would see Christ in us. They would see why the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins in order to bring us into his family by faith in Christ. May they see it by our lives, by our attitudes, by our words, by our choices, by our lifestyle. And Lord, I pray that you would use us as your ambassadors for Christ. I pray, Father, that you would be with those who are traveling. Pray that you bring Bev safely home this Wednesday. Pray that you would be with Yoko and Chelly as they travel this Friday. I pray that you would just continue to be with each one of us as we travel these winter roads and streets. May you keep us safe and enable us to do the work you've called us to do. For your glory, in Christ's name we pray.